Remember penicillin? Sure you do. It is the first antibiotic, the remedy for infections such as tuberculosis. Before the Oscars and urine pregnancy tests, such diseases have killed scores of people. But the accidentally discovered penicillin that same year in 1928 was a game changer. Back then, it seemed as if the world got it right this time. Fast forward to 2015, and the most common way of treating even a simple cold is now antibiotics. On the one hand, it is simple. You take a pill, you stay in bed for a day, and voila, you're magically healed. But as with any drug, there are side effects. I'm Nick Blake, and today we talk germs.
What we have now is a completely neurotic population obsessed with security and safety and crime and drugs and cleanliness and hygiene and germs. There's another thing, germs. Where did this sudden fear of germs come from? What do you think you have an immune system for? It's for killing germs. But it needs practice. It needs germs to practice on. So listen. If you kill all the germs around you and live a completely sterile life, then when germs do come along, you're not going to be prepared. And never mind ordinary germs. What are you going to do when some super virus comes along that turns your vital organs into liquid shit? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to get sick, you're going to die, and you're going to deserve it because you're f***ing weak and you got a f***ing weak immune system. Let me tell you a true story about immunization, okay? When I was a little boy in New York City in the 1940s, we swam in the Hudson River, and it was filled with raw sewage, okay? We swam in raw sewage, you know, to cool off. And at that time, the big fear was polio. Thousands of kids died from polio every year. But you know something? In my neighborhood, no one ever got polio. No one, ever. You know why? Because we swam in raw sewage. It strengthened our immune systems. The polio never had a prayer. We were tempered in raw shit. So personally, I never take any special precautions against germs. I don't shy away from people who sneeze and cough. I don't wipe off the telephone. I don't cover the toilet seat. And if I drop food on the floor, I pick it up and eat it. I eat it.
That was George Carlin, the master of spoken word, with his HBO special from 1999. 1999! It seems that his predictions about a super virus might not be all too far off. If you don't train your immune system and instead heavily rely on corporate medicines, which for the most part contain a number of additives just like cigarettes, have way more shit in them than nicotine, then you, my friend, are a step away from piles, or leprosy, or any other disease you can think of. The Guardian has recently published a new report with, surprise, not great news. Unless action is taken, antimicrobial resistance will kill 10 million people a year by 2050. That is more than people who currently die from cancer. The thing is that it takes years to develop and trial test and double placebo the f*** out of a new drug. Very often the medicine that hits supermarket shelves has side effects that are even worse than the ailment that it is supposed to be curing. This is David Foster with his take on the issue.
I just think Western medicine is generally unimpressive. It's very, like, it's a very simple paradigm, right? It's just like, it's just drugs pretty much, right? It's just drugs, surgery. What are we going to do? Drugs or cut them open. We have drugs on app for everything. We've become such wimps. We have drugs on app for muscle cramps. I saw the commercial, this lady's like, oh, my arm hurts. And they're like, oh, take a lycopin. And I swear to you, one of the side effects was suicidal thoughts. Swear to God. Suicidal thoughts for a cramp. She got a cramp. I was like, dude, I got an idea. Instead of lycopin, why don't you try this once in a while? You know? Why don't you stretch out? Maybe you won't have to worry about blowing your brains out over a muscle cramp. Suicidal thoughts. That means if you take lycopin, you got to take, like, antidepressants, but one of the side effects of antidepressants is muscle cramps. So, I don't know what you do, but you got to do, like, every other day. Like, am I more sad today or am I more stiff? I don't know. I'm sort of sad that I'm stiff. It's sort of a sad stiffness. I'm stiff in sadness. I'm stiff within my sadness. I'm sad about my stiffness. Whatever. You get it.
That was David Foster letting us know what Western medicine is all about. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying homeopathy and treating tuberculosis with ground buffalo testicles and a drop of gasoline is a solution either. What I'm saying is that every day the viruses that could have been easily destroyed with a pill have morphed so much that technology is no longer able to keep up. Not only is the threat already on the horizon, it also might be radiating from one of the most sacred places we in the West hold oh so dear. Food. Let's take the situation in the UK, which is a prototype for other Western countries. Recently, a number of experts voiced their concerns about the use of veterinary antibiotics. What do officials say about these claims? There's little cause for concern, ladies and gentlemen. Go back to bed. We, your leaders, who messed up oh so many times before, hey, we're all human, right? Are telling you now, with a straight face, there is nothing to worry about. Never mind the fact that some of us, your leaders, your elected officials, have some money on the game. So what if we have friends and or at some point of time may have had friendly relationships with big pharma corporations? What was that? Oh no, we, the government, do not track the use of veterinary antibiotics in detail, unlike their human counterparts, so it's impossible to tell how many animals are being treated, for what diseases, and whether the medicines are being used as a prophylactic or to treat diseases already present. This is Lance Price, who shines more light into this seemingly black hole.
We raise animals in concentrated animal feeding operations. So pigs spend their entire lives on concrete slabs surrounded by their own feces. Cattle will spend part of their lives grazing, like on my family's ranch, but they'll end up on these fecal wastelands that we call feedlots, where they're exchanging bacteria and fattening up for slaughter. Chickens spend their lives beak to feather with 75,000 of their best friends. And turkeys spend their lives much the same. Now, people call these things factory farms. That's a term that the industry hates. Reason enough to use it every now and then. But when I see these factories, when I see these operations, I don't see factories making meat. I see factories making trillions and trillions and trillions of drug-resistant bacteria. No, the most diabolical villain could not design a better system for creating superbugs than the modern CAFO. You have everything you need. You have tens of thousands of animals crammed together in filthy, stressful conditions. You have bacteria, loads of bacteria, right, living in those animals, spreading between those animals. And then you have the magic ingredient. You have a steady stream of low-dose antibiotics. And we've known for decades that low-dose antibiotics creates drug-resistant bacteria.
This was Lance Price from his TED Talk, giving us an insight into the world of antibiotics in food. One of the most astounding things to me in the report submitted by The Guardian is how much money this might potentially cost the economy. If you're wondering, the number stands at $100 trillion. Wow. Not the fact that 10 million people in the West and an unaccounted scores of people in other parts of the world, but the dollar amount that the economy stands to lose. With over 80% of all antibiotic use going into the farming industry in the US, it is quite possible that a major epidemic could emerge in the nearest future. On one hand, it sounds like a great plan to just thin out the herd and let the disease run through the entire population, just one time, so that I could just cut through the Lincoln Tunnel at 5 p.m. on a Friday. On the other hand, however, the productivity of the workforce would dwindle. Here's Doug Stanhope with more.
They'll legalize any drug so long as that drug keeps you producing. That's all they give a shit about is production. You're kicking out enough boxes at the plant? Well, go. Whatever keeps you doing that, keeps you vaguely content sitting in a cubicle. Go ahead. FDA approved. I have a job where I alphabetize insurance forms 45 hours a week, and I noticed I couldn't concentrate so well at my job, so my doctor put me on Adderall, and now I can just breeze through my workday. I don't even notice that my empty life is being pissed away underneath fluorescent tubes. I have no highs or lows. I have no good stories. But I'm getting a lot of stuff done. I'm probably the most boring person I know, but look at me produce. I just go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, la, 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 la. You're never going to take a pill for that. You're not concentrating because that's fucking boring, and that's a natural reaction to boring. Don't concentrate. Find another way. You're going to make a living, you have bills to pay, buy less shit, and find some, suck a dick. You're going to pay bills, suck a dick. I'm talking to you in particular, because you're close. Whatever it is, spin around the brass pole a few times. Whatever it is, say you saw the Virgin Mary in a grilled cheese sandwich and sell that shit. it on eBay. There's a grift in the system. There's always a scam. You don't have to do it just because your guidance counselor told you you'd excel at it. F*** over.
That was Doug Stanhope doing what he does best, informing the masses of another way to do things besides the one thrown at you by the media. Major conflicts of interest arise from bringing government officials with corporations, especially when you're discussing such topics as safety and security of food sources throughout the entire chain. Going back to the UK, veterinarians are allowed to profit from the antibiotics they prescribe to farmers. And according to The Guardian, authorities have confirmed there were no plans to change this practice. What does this all mean for food supplies, and what does this mean for productivity? I've been Nick Blake, and you've been listening to As If.